Thank you for subscribing to the Christian Ministries Church podcast. With our vision for the year being stronger and stronger, we pray that this message strengthens and equips you for the work of the ministry that God has called you to. Let's join one of our pastors now.
Pastor, I just don't know that there's a lot to be grateful for. Well, let me just tell you, the pilgrims in that day and age didn't have that all figured out either. But they were grateful and they were thankful for deliverance. And as I read, I just kept seeing symbolically the life of the pilgrims and the life of the Christian, how there was such a word there, such a meaning for how we face life. We face difficulties, but yet we have the right attitude. We have the right heart. The pilgrims first celebrated Thanksgiving as we currently know it with the native people of North America. And Governor William Bradford, if you read any of his stuff, he's got a lot of different things that he has written. But he gave in his account of the founding of the Plymouth Plantation, he was writing this. And as you study a lot of the things that were said by our forefathers and by people that were in leadership in that day and age, it's amazing to me how much of their writings referred to the word. So much of the word you will find in their speeches, in their accounts, and the things that they gave. And David Barton's just done a good job of bringing that to life for me and for obviously a lot of our school and the people here. But here's what he wrote. Our fathers were Englishmen, which came over this great ocean and were ready to perish in the wilderness. But they cried unto the Lord, and he heard their voice and looked on their adversity. Let them therefore praise the Lord, because he is good, and his mercies endure forever. Yes, let them which have been redeemed of the Lord show how he hath delivered them from the hand of the oppressor. When they wandered in the desert wilderness out of the way and found no city to dwell in, both hungry and thirsty, their soul was overwhelmed in them. Let them confess before the Lord his loving kindness and his wonderful works before the sons of men. Now that's Governor William Bradford and his account. And if you heard that, you just heard Psalm 107. You heard Psalm 107. These words are based on that. And it suggests that the Psalms were in the pilgrims' mind when they came. The Psalms were in them. They had the heart of the Psalms in them. Monday, December 11th, 1620, they came on the land. They got off the boat, came on the land, and as I read, and you just read accounts of all of this, here's what I love. The day before they came on the land here in the United States, they had a day of worship. They had a day of worship. Before they got out of the boat and said, we're here, and started the new life that they were going to face, they spent a day worshiping God. See, they wanted to spend a day preparing and thanking God for the new life they were getting ready to walk into. And I kept thinking about that, because when we're getting ready to face something, obviously we start petitioning the Lord, but how much praise is in our petition? See, they came in with an attitude of praise. And imagine that the day before, as they were getting excited, that this psalm, which psalm can also be said song, they were singing this. They were praising God through this. Psalm 107, verse 1. 107, verse 1. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His faithful love endures forever. Has the Lord redeemed you? And speak out then. Tell others that he has redeemed you from your enemies. He's gathered the exiles from many lands, from east and west, from north and south. Some wandered in the wilderness, lost, homeless, hungry, thirsty. They nearly died. Lord, help, they cried in their trouble, and he rescued them from their distress. He held them straight to safety. He led them straight to safety to a city where they could live. Let them praise the Lord for his great love and for the wonderful things he's done for them. He satisfies the thirsty, and he fills the hungry with good things. Now, in its own setting, Psalm 107, you got to see this as a praise song. It's a praise song. And when it was written, The different theologians would say that it was written based on the Babylonian exile, and this was God's people getting past and through that, and they re-entered the city, and they were like, okay, we've been cast out, but man, I'm telling you, we're here. We've been restored. We're back where we need to be. And see, the pilgrims knew about this. And so the pilgrims, knowing the history of what was going on and the governor's account of the writings at that time, the psalm here gave them hope of a new life and a new future. What I want to do is I want to study this and go, that's great. That's great. But how does that work for me today? And as I start thinking about it, every one of us have been exiled, every one of us, by our own doing or by whatever, we've all been found apart from the things of God. And what I'm telling you is, he has a plan of restoration for you. And it's through Jesus and his redeeming power. He redeems us. Each one of us has a life that we have experienced death situations. Come on, who here can say? And I'm not having you raise your hand for testimony time. But who, come on, I've been redeemed. The life I had, whoo! Praise God for Jesus. See, many of us can go, I get that. Psalm 107 can give us an opportunity to say, God, thank you for your redeeming plan. Now, some of us have to do it ahead of time because we're right in the middle of a trial. We're right in the middle of a struggle. We're right in the middle of a situation. The most dangerous thing about people who live frustrated and just with no hope is a lot of times they don't realize the situation they are in. They don't see it. Have you ever wanted something more for someone than they wanted it for themselves? And I want them to understand how big God could be in their life. But they're just not getting it. Come on, God can be so big for you, but they're just leaving him out of the picture. And they're living frustrated. They're all the time saying, oh, I just don't know what I'm going to do. I just don't understand what I can do to get out of this. Psalm 107 provides a picture of the divine work of redemption. And I think this would be great for you to hear today, because Thursday, as we gather for Thanksgiving, it's one of those times where we can get together with family and we can be the redeemed who say so. We can be the redeemed who say, God is awesome. See, the psalm was most likely written after the exile in Babylon. You got to get that. It looks at the Babylonian exile and the redemption of the people of God from their captivity. How many times in the Bible does it refer to people that are in bondage or in sin or they're in slavery? They're held captive against their will. Come on, everybody here knows someone who's held captive right now. Maybe you're that someone, but maybe it's someone you know. They seem like they're just held captive by the life they're in. They just can't get out of it. I want out so bad. Well, this is a psalm that should give you some encouragement. It's a summons. It's saying, come on, God's people, somebody say so. Somebody say how good God is. So come on, give thanks. What happens every week when Josh or BJ or myself or Melanie will walk up and say, come on, church, let's get excited. Come on, has God done anything good in your life? Come, what are they doing? They're doing Psalm 107. They're saying, come on, somebody say so. Somebody say so. And there just came something about me years ago, and I know it was the Holy Spirit, that said when God provides an opportunity for you to say so, then you need to say. And if I'm in the audience and I've got somebody trying to encourage me, I don't want to be the one that sits there and say, come on, you got to do more. Because I'm not about to raise my hand. I'm not about to go, woo! I'm not about to go, amen! I'm not about to go, wow! But what I want to tell you today is, you won't find me being that person. I'm not going to be that because I'm redeemed, praise God. And I'm going to say so. I'm not going to stand on the sidelines and watch somebody else give glory to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. See, I'm not going to let somebody, I'm going to be that. Are you going to be that today? Come on, we got to be the one saying so. We got to be the one giving thanks and living this life. The scripture is applicable to all who have been redeemed from sin. See, some have faced some pretty tough times. Come on, you had a divorce, maybe two, maybe three. You may have had drugs in your past. Some has lived a life of despair. Some right now I'm talking to are in trials, tribulations, troubles. Some right now their kids have gone astray and they're hurting and they just don't know. Some right here are on an emotional roller coaster. And what I want to tell you today is if Psalm 107 will come alive to you before you leave this place, you can give thanks in the middle of all that some. Whatever it is, some, if you're one of that some, that you can give thanks to the Lord, for he is good and his love endures forever. And we just miss this. The basis of our worship, the basis of our worship is the goodness of the Lord. And why the devil has any power is because we give it to him. And we let him ruin our praise. We let him ruin our thanksgiving. And I'm just not about to. Come on, God is worthy of our praise. And we just sit there like bumps on a log. Come on, try to make me excited. I can't do it, but the Holy Spirit can if you'll allow him. Because it's about the Lord. This Thanksgiving weekend, this Thursday, this Friday, this Saturday, I know there'll be a lot of extended family gatherings. Come on, how many of y'all going to see family that you only see a couple times a year? All right, good. I know I was talking to somebody this morning. And you're going to go in and you're going to hear the same story that you hear every year. You're going to hear the same problems that they've been facing for the last 20 years. It's just a new set of circumstances, but really it's the same problem. You're going to hear, some of y'all are looking and going, yeah, that's exactly what it's going to be. And you're going to be around people who are going to talk about all the problems. And here's the thing. As we talk about everything that's happened since we last met, what are you going to say? Are you going to talk like you're redeemed or are you going to talk like you're still a victim? Are you redeemed or are you a victim of circumstances? Come on, they're following you on Facebook. They know what you've been doing. They just, all you got to do is look at your pictures. But is your pictures on Facebook a reflection of a redeemed child of God? Are your quotes on Facebook, or are they all about, oh, I just don't know what I'm going to do, and how do you deal with this? And if our stories of thankfulness reflect what God is doing, then it not only shows our true thankfulness, but it can be a means for God to bring deliverance to others. See, we're called for that purpose. In verse 2, it says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let the redeemed, those who have been redeemed are the ones who ought to be praising God and thanking God in every situation and every circumstance. I didn't say for every situation and every circumstance, but in that situation and in that circumstance, the child of God ought to still live redeemed. And I ought to be able to say so. They ought to be able to say so. Not all who have been redeemed from trouble and living physically free from the effects of sin, not all are going to live this, but my encouragement is today this is a time for you to acknowledge and go, oh, you know what? I'm not held captive by this medical condition. I'm a redeemed child of God. I'm not going to live captive based on what my spouse has said or done or how they're acting. I'm a redeemed child of God. I'm not going to live frustrated and in fear and in worry and in doubt about what my child is doing or where they're at right now. I'm going to live redeemed. I'm a child of God. See, what we've got to do is start being real and genuine in our life. You may be sitting there and going, well, Pastor, that's just a lot easier said than done. Is it? Why is it easier said than done? Here's why. Because we don't practice it. And practice makes perfect. You will play a game as you've practiced. I've heard every coach in the world say that. So what are you doing through the week? What are you doing when you get up in the morning? Yeah, I'm going to get on you morning people. When you get up in the morning, do you act like you're redeemed? Or you get up going, I'm redeemed. I'm a child of God. Sometimes you got to say that and then your face will come in tune with it. But I'm just telling you, there's got to be an attitude of redemption that we walk in. Let me just say that you might today ask yourself this question. Am I redeemed? Am I redeemed? If your answer to that question is yes, then my encouragement for you today is to live like it. Live like you're redeemed. If you've been redeemed from your sin by the death of Jesus on the cross, you should thank God for your deliverance. You should tell others how God is good and that his love endures forever. That's what the psalm says. It's not just Israel's song. It's not just the pilgrim's song. Come on, it's our song today. It's our song. It's how we live. Now, they, God's people, in the captivity in Babylon, you can go right back to the Israelites and getting out of Egypt. You can talk about the pilgrims and you can talk about us today. But I want to talk about four steps today of God's plan and his will for your life, if you will. I mean, because really what I want you to see is God has a plan and purpose for your life, but you've got to acknowledge that God's plan is what you want to walk in. So I'm going to give you the 4 points right off the bat, and then we'll talk about them. So you won't have to wonder about what's coming up, and you can get them right off the bat. You can just tune me out and say, I got it, Pastor, or you can hear the rest of what I want to say. Here's the four. The first one is you find yourself in a predicament. You find yourself in a predicament. That's the first one. The second one is there is a petition. You find yourself in a predicament, and then there's a petition. The third thing that you find yourself getting as a Christian is there's a pardon. Praise God. And the fourth thing is then there is praise that goes up. See, there's a predicament, there's a petition, there's a pardon, and then there's a praise. The predicament is a dangerous situation. It's not fun. Nobody likes to be there. Restless, lost, sinners without resources, starved, thirsty, that's what the psalm says, wandering hopelessly in the desert, aimlessly looking for a city in which there was some food, some water, some rest, some safety. Israel, 40 years wandering in the wilderness when they came out of Egypt, wandering restlessly and aimlessly, roaming around in a wasteland, a howling desert. Oh God, I'm not really happy about this food you're providing. I'm not really big on it. It's not what I want. And we got other things back when we were in Egypt. And we start wanting to go back when we find ourselves in a predicament. A lot of times we go back to the sin. We find ourselves in a predicament. The sin's caused us to be there and we take a wrong step. It could be used to describe Babylon, living in exile. Obviously, the pilgrims, and I love this, tired of being persecuted because of their religion, wanting to worship God the way they saw the Bible told them to, and live by that direction and that dictate. Or you can say us. We find ourselves in a predicament. Life is turned on us. There's no peace. There's no joy. I just give up. I'm at the end of my rope. Come on, that's a predicament. Now, I won't ask this to raise your hand, but has anybody been there? Sure, I'm in a predicament. I just don't know about this anymore. I don't know how I want to do this. I don't know how I want to live. Those without Christ are troubled, destitute, despondent, lost soul, wandering aimlessly. That's how sinners are. But I'm sick and tired of God's people being there. See, I understand when sinner lives like that, but why has God's people got to live like that? God's people do find themselves in a predicament. They do. They find themselves. And at Thanksgiving, we ought to all be thankful. But Pastor, I'm in a predicament. I understand. That's why I'm preaching today. Hopefully some encouragement to you. People unfulfilled, restless, frustrated in life is because they sought satisfaction in something that was never designed to bring satisfaction. Hear that, because that's very important. They're seeking satisfaction in something that was never designed to bring satisfaction. If you're lost, lonely, in despair, frustrated, kids, parents, whatever the case may be, it may be your financial situation, maybe your marriage, what I want you to know is the satisfaction you're looking for in life was not, that thing you're looking for wasn't designed for that thing to bring. That thing was never meant to bring the satisfaction. God deliberately designed all of creation to point to Him. All of creation was designed so that it would point to Him. Why? Because He alone brings satisfaction in life. That's it. If you're looking for a situation to bring satisfaction, it'll never happen. If you're looking for a new car to bring satisfaction, it'll never happen. It will get old. It will get a dent. Something will happen. Whatever you are looking for to bring satisfaction in life, it's not going to bring it. Only God. God alone. Come on, church, are you hearing me today? God alone brings satisfaction, brings a desire, brings an excitement to life. I love this verse. In verse 6, says in Psalm 107, it says, "Then they cried out to the Lord." The New Living Translation says, "Lord, help." They cried in their trouble. What I want you to know is there is a predicament and then there is a petition. And if you're in a predicament, my encouragement is get to number 2 real quick. Cry out to the Lord. Cry out to the Lord. Lord, help! Come on, I don't know if you've ever been there. I don't know what else to do. And so you hit your knees. And we come, if everybody was honest, we've been in a predicament and we've been there. And we cried out, God, help! God help, please. Do you remember me, Ashley? Do you remember when I was 8 years? Do you remember? Come on, God, do you remember me? I'm in a predicament. I need some help. That's what it says they did. They cried out to the Lord. They cried out for deliverance. God, deliver me. Help me here. And sometimes it takes people a long time to get here. A long time. And many get here when they're in a service and they hear and they start to believe that hell's a real place. Come on, hell's a real place. And it's really hot and you're going to burn forever. If you burned your finger one time, you understand, I don't want my whole body feeling like that. And I don't want to live in hell forever. So what do? You get saved. Because why? You found yourself in a predicament. I'm in a predicament. I want to go to heaven. I don't want to go to hell. And I just heard a pastor say, if you'll say, God, forgive me of my sins, and I'm going to confess and believe in what you did on the cross, and I want to be saved, then you get saved and you get your ticket to heaven. And all it ever is for a lot of Christian people is fire insurance. Because all they found themselves was in a predicament that they didn't want to go to hell and they want to go to heaven. So they just get their predicament taken care of and they just say, okay, I'm going to get saved. Now, obviously you need to get saved. And you don't mature in everything, but what I want before salvation, it takes getting a hold of Jesus and then you can grow in the Lord. So I'm not cutting down getting saved, but what I don't want to do is stop there. I'm talking hopefully to a whole church full of saved people today. People that are saved and know Jesus. And if you're one of those that sit here today and go, you know what? I couldn't say that I'm redeemed. I've never acted redeemed. I don't know what that means. Then you need to get saved. Well, I came up and prayed this little prayer because my buddy did. Don't leave here today without coming and seeing me or talking to someone that's a Christian here. Come on, raise your hand if you're a Christian. Right there's somebody you can talk to. Go talk to one of them, say, I need to be saved, because all of them have came to that place in their life and said, I need to be redeemed. So don't leave here today, so I don't want to leave you out, but the majority of the church that I'm talking to this morning is saved people. And what you understand as a saved person is you still get in predicaments. Come on, we still find ourselves in this predicament. And so what do? You cry out to the Lord. You cry out and say, God, I want delivered from this. I want delivered from this. Israel certainly cried out to the Lord in Egypt. They cried out in Babylon. They pleaded for God. Now, it's easy to see why the pilgrims cried out. Let's talk about the pilgrims. Do you enjoy stories about the pilgrims? Please say yes for my satisfaction. Okay. These poor people have been driven from their homes in England. They had been placed in different places. They had escaped England. Then they'd went to Holland. They'd went all these different places. Finally, they set sail for the American continent. According to William Bradford, as I was reading some of his writings, they were hunted, They were persecuted on every side. Some were taken and put in prison. Others had their houses taken from them and had to leave their homes and their jobs. These were the problems that faced the pilgrims. So when they finally came to America and settled in their own homes from 1620 on, their homes may not have been what they were in England. The grocery store might not have been right around the corner, but they felt an enormous gratitude. They felt an enormous gratitude to God for deliverance. Come on, if you've been delivered from something that you were in a predicament in, you can look back on that and realize what the pilgrims were going, yeah, I kind of get what was happening there. I kind of understand that. If you were saved later in life, you kind of get that, oh God, thank you. I was a bonehead. Golly, Lord, thank you so much for delivering me. Today, those that recognize their failure to keep the law, to do everything God says to do, you find yourself at times lost, aimless. I don't know what I'm going to do. Your job's not bringing satisfaction. Your marriage is not. Experience after experience. And you, what I want to redirect your attention is none of that will ever bring you the satisfaction that God will. None of it will. Hebrews 11, turn here with me today. Hebrews 11, verse 8. Says, by faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. I'm getting to the age where that happens to me every once in a while. You ever go somewhere, you're headed somewhere, and you're like, I don't remember why I'm here. I don't remember. I have turned around, went back to the house to get something I forgot, walked in the house, and then said, what did I forget? Come on, maybe it's just me. I'm admitting. Okay, Mom, thanks. You just made me feel better. You're the one who gave it to me. By faith, in verse 9, he dwelt in the land of promise as in a foreign country. By faith, he dwelt in the land of promise as in a foreign country. By faith, come on, this verse exploded in me. By faith, Abraham dwelt in the land of promises as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. And he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Come on, there are going to be times in life that you're living as in a foreign country. But what I'm telling you is, come on, you're in the promise of God. You're a child of God. You're redeemed. And I know that health situation seems like it's just totally monopolizing you. But by faith, I'm redeemed. This is not my home. This is not where I have to live, and I'm not going to. It's by faith that we start living. Psalms 107, he rescued them from their distress. He led them straight to safety, to a city where they could live. The third thing, after we have our predicament, after we have our petition, what do we get? We get a pardon. We get a pardon. We get some light. We get some understanding. Restoration of Israel, the promised land. When the people of God left Egypt, Canaan land was theirs. Pilgrims. December 21st, 1620. The voyaging Mayflower dropped anchor. Boy, aren't you glad that those people didn't miss the boat? I'm glad that we had some people who was going to live by faith and say, I'm going to get the promises of God. I'm going to get them. I'm not going to live like this. I'm going to live under the promises of God. And they, if you're late all the time and have missed that boat, that'd have been horrible. I was watching last night one of the comedians in Branson. He said, our family's late all the time. They'd have missed the Mayflower. They'd had to come on the June flower. The idea of I don't want to miss the promises of God. I don't want to miss. I want to be engaged in what God says is mine. And so they get on this boat. The Mayflower drops anchor in Plymouth Bay. Captain Christopher Jones, he had been facing this grueling voyage. He had been on a terrible voyage. 120-ton capacity ship, taking 66 days to make the crossing. There had been disease, anxiety, childbirth. Can you imagine giving birth to a child on the ocean as you're coming across this? 102 courageous passengers. They arrived New England shore during a hard winter, which ultimately that winter claimed half of their number. However, when spring came, now I'm just thinking about this whole journey and then taking half of their people, the captain's getting ready to return to England. I love this part of the story. Here's what he said. Hey, I'll give you free tickets for anybody who wants to go back. I've got a free ticket for anybody who wants to go back. And he asked all the pilgrims that he'd brought over the year before, who wants to go back? Here's the cool thing. Do you know not one of them returned? Not one of them returned. They all said, nope. Praise God for his bountiful blessing. They lost half their people. Their hope and their design and their future was not based on their circumstances. It was based on the promises of God that they saw in Scripture and said, we are not going back. Come on, you've given the Lord Jesus your heart and life. Don't turn your back on him. Don't go back. Let's go forward. If you have found yourself there, get back on board. Come on, let's go. Are you saved? Are you saved this morning? You say, well, sure, Pastor, I'm saved. The question is not then, has God provided? The question is not, has God provided? The question is, have you accepted? God's provided all he's going to provide. His promises are yes and amen. That's what they are. So the question is not, God, I'm needing you to provide. He's done that. He did that on the cross 2,000 years ago. And you've got to accept that, and then you live by faith in your deliverance, just like the pilgrims did. They said, we're going to live by faith. Faith prompted the voyage. Faith sustained the pilgrims, and their convictions compelled them to raise their voices in praise, even though circumstances may not have lined up. What about us? Come on, church. What about us? Are we willing to praise God like they did that first Thanksgiving? What are you going to do this Thursday? Oh, it's been a tough year. Been a tough year. You're sitting down getting caught back up with everybody you've not talked to for a year. Been a tough year. Or, you know what? I'm a redeemed child of God, and the promises are mine, and I'm standing on them. I got to praise God at church on Sunday. I got to praise him when I got up Monday, Tuesday. I just got to share how good he is to somebody else. I'm just telling you, my God's a redeeming God. He is a loving God. His promises are yes and, oh, good grief, I think I'll go talk to somebody else at this family reunion. Maybe that's what needs to happen, or maybe keep talking. Keep talking, brother. That's what I need to hear. Are you going to be the redeemed of the Lord who's saying so? Are you going to be the one who says, I can tell you who God is. He is worthy of praise. He is my redeemer. See, our own redemption of sin is totally outlined here in Psalm 107. We're like people lost in the wilderness, locked in prison, in sickness, storm-tossed sea. This picture's not far from home. Come on, everybody here can say, I get that. This Thanksgiving, let's live like we're redeemed. Let's live like we're set free. And then if we could do it on Thursday, why don't we try it next week? Why don't we start just trying this to be a lifestyle of living redeemed? Living redeemed. I know that there's problems. I know there's situations in life. But if we can point people to our Redeemer, maybe he'll become their Redeemer. Maybe, but if they don't see us as redeemed, why would they want what we got? I don't want what you got. You're just full of a lot of trouble. I think I'll go to somebody else. I want to be pointed in the direction of the Lord. You know, I was having some pain in my back and just dealing with some stuff here. It's been a couple of months ago, and I've not shared this publicly. I've told it to a few people privately. But I was walking up, and I ran into Ann Lindham. She was up there. She'd been in prayer with some of the ladies that meet up there, or some of the people that meet up there. She'd been in prayer, and she rounded the corner. She goes, how's it going? I said, man, I'm just kind of stiff. She goes, well, let's take care of that. Well, I've been praying. And she just laid her hand on my back like that. And she believed by God right now, Pastor can't deal with this. He got a lot going. I mean, she was just, She put herself in my shoes, but brought the Holy Spirit onto the situation and said, I'm a redeemed child of God and I can pray for you and things can change. When you hear somebody talking about how bad it is, are you willing to lay hands on somebody and say it can change? You know, she didn't know this, but I walked out of that. And I walked out of that and I just walked up to my office and I kind of had a different attitude for one. And then I started realizing, I don't have any pain. I'll accept that in Jesus' name. Praise God. See, I don't. Thank you, Lord. By faith, your situation may not show, but it's coming. I want to encourage you today, hang on. Hang on. Come on, who here today can say, I'm redeemed, and I can say so, it's coming for you. The blessings of God are yes and amen. Come on, the blessings of God are yes and amen. I'm excited, I'm thrilled, I'm ready to take on the gates of hell, and I'm not doing it by myself. I serve a risen Savior who's alive and real, and I'm going to sing about the cross. I'm going to sing about His victory, His glorious overcoming of death, hell, and the grave. And I'm telling you, I'm not experiencing death in my life. I'm going to experience life and life abundant. That's how I'm going to live. I'm going to put my praise on. See, I'm going to live redeemed. Come on, church, can we do that today? Can we do? Well, I just don't know, Pastor. I understand that some of us are a little more reserved, but there ought to be a time and a place in our life where we start living like we're redeemed, and it stops being a private, quiet thing, but it starts being something that we say so. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. I'm redeemed. I'm redeemed. I'm redeemed. I want you to know I'm redeemed. And because I'm redeemed, I have the availability of power from on high. And I'm here to tell you that today you have that same thing. It's not because I'm pastor. It's not because I'm in a situation that I'm in a lead position. It's because of who Jesus is. And He's the same today, yesterday, and forever. And I'm going to live forever redeemed. And I've got to keep saying it because there are times that my circumstances try to shut me up. But I'm not going to live shut up. I'm going to live vocal. And when someone's got a problem, can I pray for you? Let me just introduce you to the one who redeemed me. Let me just tell you, I know I've been through some tough times and God's delivered me. I can tell you that I'm going to live as a child of God. I'm not going to live as a child of this world. But I'm tired of children of God living like they're a child of this world. And we're not. We're born again. We're in a different standard, a different situation, and we need to live like it. Come on, we have the answer in Jesus. Does others know that at your job? Young people, do they know that at your school? Do they know that at your work? Do they know that in your home? Do you live redeemed? That you have the answer in Jesus? I understand that what comes out of your mouth isn't always right. But if you live saying that Jesus is the answer, that's always going to be right. When people say, what do you think about that? I think Jesus is the answer. See, what? Get your mind trained to go to the Lord first. Because circumstances of life, the pilgrims faced when they got here, half of their people the next year dead. Think about that. Circumstances might make me, I got a free ticket, I'm taking it, I'm out of here. But no, I'm living on the promises of God. God said, I don't have to live in persecution, in fear, in worry. I'm not living that way. The fruits of the Spirit are mine, and I'm going to live like that. Come on, that's how we've got to live. Are you ready today? Let the redeemed of the Lord say so.
For more information about all that is happening here at Christian Ministries Church, visit cmchurch.net or like us on Facebook, Christian Ministries Church, Southwest Missouri. Have a very blessed day.